Welcome back to another edition of Ball Don't Lie right here on 104.9 The Horn. We are looking live, ladies and gentlemen. We are at Terry Black's Barbecue here in Lockhart, Texas. It's a beautiful thing. We got some special guests that are going to join us. We'll get into some World Series discussion. We got to talk about Texas versus K-State, the Purple Kryptonite. Also got to talk about how damn good the food is out here. I already had one meal. I'm probably going to have a couple of more out here at Terry Black's. So come on out here if you're in the neighborhood. It is great out here in Lockhart. All right, we got a lot to get to, but first let me introduce you to the rest of the crew. He was a second-round pick for the Montreal Expos, but a first-round pick for the Austin Radio Network. He originally committed to the University of Texas, but it's to forego the 40 acres and chase his dream and the cheese. Pimping ain't easy, but for this man, it's a breeze. He is Mike Hardball Hards. What's going on, Lee?
Man, we didn't came out to Terry Black's and had a little bit to eat, and now I'm ready to take a nap. The itis didn't hit me. I might have to lay it down.
That's what Terry Black's the motto should be. The itis will hit you.
But let me tell you about my man sitting next to me. He hails from H-Town with the get down. He's a lifetime Longhorn and a proud card-carrying member of DBU. Legendary Longhorn Derek Johnson said he was the best cover corner he had ever seen. He's a former NFL DB that still has that passion for film study, but he's not a fan of white condiments. But he is a fan of you, the listeners. He is my man and yours, Rob Babers.
I appreciate the intro, as always. And I'm happy to say, usually not the case when we are on the road amongst the people, but today it is. We have the real MVP with us. Got my man, the Idealionaire, one of the hardest working members of the ARN family. He's got a hustle spirit, period. We don't know what he's paid. But damn it, if he ain't under, because he is working hard right now.
My rag is a little sweaty.
And I forgot my sweat rag. I usually bring a sweat rag.
I'm like that too.
I forgot my sweat rag. Yeah. But we may or may not be having some difficulty, but you know we're going to keep the party going.
We'll be good after this break for sure.
Okay.
After this, I feel pretty good.
Yeah, here you go. Whatever can go wrong will go wrong. That's the radio rule.
That's the radio rule. At 3 p.m. Perfectly fine for 1 hour. 3 p.m., let's see what's happening.
That's usually how it works out. Yeah, there you go. All right, so make sure we're on our P's and Q's. We'll break down, obviously, a lot of football. We got Thursday night football game tonight. Texans, there's something going on between H-Town and Philadelphia right now. H-Town and Philly.
Yeah.
Because we got the World Series now tied 2-2, which we'll break down here in a second. Thank God for Hardball. We got him to help us break it all down from every angle. But we also got Texans versus the Eagles. And let's be honest, make sure you catch the first quarter.
Make sure you catch the second quarter.
After halftime, this thing could be on. And honestly, the second quarter is where they can put it away. So we'll get to that coming up a little bit later on. We also have a special guest. We have in about 10, 15 minutes or so, after we talk World Series here a little bit, we're going to have the head coach of Lockhart Football join us right here. Usually, playoff bound. No doubt. Congrats on that. Coach Mavis is going to join us coming up about 15 minutes. Actually, I got a special connection with Lockhart football.
You do.
And I'll explain that coming up when Coach joins us. It's a special connection. And honestly, I take a lot of pride and I brag about it all the time.
You sure do.
I brag about it all the times when I'm bragging about different things, like, hey, once, you know, playing in the NFL, was drafted. Actually, Mike Dady Kelly rolling for a hot second.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Back early in days.
It still counts.
Hot second. It still counts.
It still counts.
It's a hot second. It's all good.
Yeah.
But also, I brag about my moment with the Lockhart Lions football program. So we'll get into that coming up here in just a second. I want to talk some World Series, though, with my man Hardball here. Because as an Astros fan, go Astros!
I'm
ecstatic.
There you go.
All right, I'm excited. First of all, I just got done eating some of the best barbecue I've ever had.
So you're even more ecstatic.
I usually don't eat before the show.
Yep.
I will admit this. First of all, everybody know this. I don't eat in public.
You did say that.
Really?
You did.
I don't really eat in public that often. I don't.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Especially when it comes to food that I have to use my hands with.
There you go.
That I have to, because then I'm going to. This barbecue is finger licking good.
There it is.
You know what I mean? I want to make sure I get all of it.
I got you.
All right. I don't want to waste none of it. I can't look at that bone and see some meat on there. I'm going to be ashamed of myself.
The thing about being here, the meat falls off the bone.
That's true, too.
So you're in a good place.
That's true. It does fall
right off the bone.
Very true. Very true. But Terry Blatch is so good that I had to break the rule.
I like it.
I had to get down.
I like it.
And you know what? I'm probably going to do it again at one point during the show. And then wifey's got me bringing home some brisket as well when she heard we was coming to Terry Blatch. So that's how it goes.
I saw they got some Nana pudding up in there.
You know what?
I saw the Nana pudding.
I got to say, I'm not a pudding or a pie or a cobbler guy.
Well, if you're not all of that.
I'm not.
That means there's more for me. Because I am a banana pudding dude.
I'm not anti-pie, cobbler, or pudding.
Right.
But just, not really my thing.
I got you.
But I've heard it's delicious.
Delicious.
I've heard it's delicious.
I can't be calling no man delicious.
You can't be calling delicious. I believe that is Terry Black's nickname.
There it is. If it's not, his nickname should be Itis.
Either way. Yeah. All right, let's talk about the World Series really quickly. And then we'll have Coach Mabus coming up here in about 10 minutes or so. All right, so let's get into it. And it was a magnificent performance by Christian Javier.
Yes, it was. Yes, it was.
I mean, talking about the Astros' second team in World Series history with a combined no-hitter, a World Series no-hitter. So that's how rare it is. But Christian Javier, he played like a man possessed. What's the new phrase? He is him.
He is him, and I am him.
Yeah.
He is him.
He is him. Six innings pitched, zero hits, zero earned runs. He had nine strikeouts, only walked two. And once he started on the way he did, and even though the Astros started relatively slow, they had that breakout fifth that really changed the dynamic of the game and the matchup now that it's tied 2-2. But it was Christian Javier. I mean, he put the team on his shoulders.
Yeah.
And took him to the promised land.
And it's kind of funny, too, because yesterday we were having a conversation about Lance McCullers, right, and what was his deal. He didn't like to throw off the fastball. He liked working with his breaking ball. Christian Javier was the complete opposite.
Yeah.
77 fastballs he threw.
That high fastball. I heard Coach Ty talking about it.
Let it ride, baby.
And go, by the way, go podcast Beanie, because Coach Ty Harrington, man, he was on there dropping some knowledge.
Yeah, he was breaking it
down. Sweet science about the game.
Yeah.
But please continue.
Yeah, and you sit there, and as a guy that faced pitchers like Christian Javier, he was the type that I didn't want to face, because his fastball, although I love fastballs, fastballs wasn't the reason why I'm sitting next to Rob B. It's that slider that he can throw, because the fastball is so effective. When you go up there and you're getting a slider, it looks so much like a fastball that you can't pick up the rotation.
Yeah.
So it makes it very, very difficult, because you think you're swinging at that fastball, but it's not the fastball. It's that slider that's going away from you. So when I was watching him last night, the way he was going through his wind up, by the way, again, what did I say yesterday we should look at? We should look at the heart rates of some of these players.
Yeah, like that.
His was very calm again. He knew what was going on. He was very confident in his delivery. He was very confident in his approach to the game.
Yep.
And he stayed with the game plan. And can I give a shout-out to my man Christian Vasquez? Thank you.
Wow.
Called another great game behind the plate, because he felt his fastball was going to be his biggest asset, and he lived with it. Throwing nothing but strikes, having you chase balls in and out the zone. Mm-hmm. You can hit the top of the zone. You can hit the bottom of the zone. And as a hitter, you want to square the ball up. You want to find it in a happy spot. And I love the fact of what Coach Ty said this morning, because it's the thing that I've been telling y'all for a long time.
Yeah.
Quit trying to lift the ball up out the yard and get back to the principles of the swing. That's why you see these batting averages be so bad. The batting averages of today, I would still be playing, because my batting average would have been perfect for what was going on out there. I'm like, man, I'm way ahead of this. I've been striking out for a long time. But no, but when you go up there and you're trying to hit the ball out of the park, and the best thing I can do is elevate my fastball, most of the time you never wanted to pitch up there, because the ball would already be out the yard.
Yep.
People would jump all over that high fastball. But him being able to deliver that fastball and spot it the places that he wanted to, that's the biggest thing, too. As a hitter, if a guy has command of each one of his pitches, you have nothing that you can sit on. You have to go up there with a game plan. If it's close in this square, then I'm hitting in that square. I can't look for a certain pitch, because he's so effective. And, again, Lance McCullers lived off his breaking ball. Christian Vasquez lived off his fastball. And that's the best pitch in baseball. The best pitch in baseball is strike one.
Hmm.
The second like best that. Pitch is that fastball and being able to locate it.
Yeah. No, you're right about that. You know, Patrick, obviously you're an Astros fan. What were your thoughts about Christian Javier?
I mean, yeah, that was an insane game he pitched. And I'll throw in the fact of I don't know if I can remember, especially in a World Series, a momentum change that drastic of, man, I don't know if we can even play in Philly. You know, they just destroyed us, and our bats aren't swinging. And everything
it still
else.
Took them 16 innings before they got
they
to
got
their
to
run.
Five, yeah, you're right. That it, fifth inning, I was still freaking out. Yeah. Even with Christian Javier.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it still did. But they basically had one good inning.
Yeah, that's it.
And they had one good inning, but yeah. you're able to see it go there, and you go, okay, now you've seen yourself hit the ball. You've seen yourself pitch well in this park, and they're going to be rabid tonight because it's the last game they get.
Yeah.
So it's going to be a rabid fan base. But, yeah, last night was – it was special, and it was one of those things where you didn't want to look up how many no-hitters there were in the World Series. And every time I go to look up, I'm like, don't look at – you're going to jinx if you look it up, Patrick.
It's funny that you say that, Patrick, because most of the time I'm tweeting during the game and trying to give a little bit of insight every once in a while. But I saw the way the game was going, and I was like, I'm not even talking about it. I already had my tweet was sitting there waiting for the game to end before I pushed send because – I didn't want to be the reason because, you know, as a former player, I already think it's part of me.
Hey, man, you know, you
sat in my same seat the same way, couldn't even go to the bathroom.
You control the mojo.
I was trying to control the mojo.
My man E. Hogan just came out here kicking it too at Terry Black's. Everybody having a good time. To your point, Patrick, the Phillies are the first team in Major League Baseball history to hit 5+ home runs in one game and then get no hit the next game in regular season or playoffs. It's never happened.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
It's an insane momentum shift of how loud that building was.
Never happened.
Two nights ago. And then last night, just silence.
Silencio.
Crickets.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, you're right. And give credit to Christian Javier because that's a lot of pressure. Right? The World Series is about pressure. We've even seen Verlander. I'm not trying to jinx it. All right. I don't know. I shouldn't even state it this way, but I already walked into this sentence. But the pressure and how it has an adverse effect on even the GOATs out there, even the greatest. And Christian Javier just walks up there like it ain't nothing.
Yeah.
It's unfazed.
Right. And this is unfazed. The first time he got a chance to pitch in front of his parents, too. His parents came in, and they supposedly predicted that he was throwing no-no.
Okay, so, yeah,
I'll take
this.
I'll take it.
Because his mom predicted he was going to hit a no-no?
Yeah.
His mom? Who is his mom? We need to talk to his mama now.
His mama say some nice things about Verlander?
I know, right? What does mama got to say about Cleo? My bookie?
Hey, if she did, she should have bet on him last night.
What's mama got to say about the Eagles and the Texans second quarter?
It's the same thing my boy Blackstradamus said because I've already placed that one on there too.
I know, I'm serious. I really want to confirm if his mama predicted he was going to hit a no.
That's what was said.
He was going to pitch a no-no.
That's exactly what was said.
If that happened, we need to know more about
mama. She's Miss Cleo. Miss Cleo.
Mike, what would you think if you were going out to play a game and she's like, you hitting 3 home runs tonight? You'd be like, no, I'm not. Don't say that before me.
I was like, they're probably going to hit me.
Hey, well, hey, mama didn't jinx it at all. And I'm with Patrick. What mama got to say about Verlander tonight versus Noah Syndergaard? That's going to be big. But, you know, getting back to it, I will say that, you know, getting Christian Javier's performance, he now has 2 starts with 9+ strikeouts and no hits in the same season.
Right.
Now, Verlander has actually 3 of them, too, which is freaky. But he's got 2 of them. No other team has, so that's 5 combined for the Astros. No other team has 5 such starts total over the last 35 seasons.
Yes.
Combined regular season and playoffs.
Right. Damn. That's a beautiful thing. But the thing about it is his motion is consistent.
It is, man.
Those are the things that when you're a batter or a position player or even a pitcher, your consistency and being flawless with the way that you go about your business is the way to success. And that is how he's been. His release point for every single pitch is the same. His rotation, same. When the ball comes out of his hand, it's same because he'll turn it to the right, turn it to the left, and that is how you got to look at him because everything's moving. He's got the high hand up, and then he comes back down with that release, but it's simultaneous, and it's a beautiful, beautiful thing. Balance is everything. And you know that as a DB – as a center, as anything, position player, if you have no balance, you don't have a chance. You're already halfway beat.
Agreed.
And that's the same thing on the pitcher's mound, fielding position. Everything was beautiful yesterday. You couldn't ask for a better day. That's why today, and we'll get into it a little bit later, I think this game is going to be one of the tightest games of the night.
I'm hoping that's the case. I heard my man Jeff Howe talking about that. He wants a really tight game. He's an Astros fan.
Do you think high scoring? I think high scoring.
High scoring tight game would be ideal.
Yeah, I've already took the over.
Yeah, one seems like if you get to the bullpen of the Phillies, which you think you're going to with Syndergaard starting, that this will be a – this could be a – you know, 7-8 runs wins it.
I mean, the Astros have had a 5-run lead in 3 of the 4 games.
Yeah.
I know they won two. I know. So they're better.
It's a split.
So they're better than Sark anyway. Yeah. I'll say that. I kid. I love Sark.
Yeah.
All right. Speaking of football, I do. I love me some Sark. Speaking of football, we got a special guest joining us right now. Coach, would you please make your way? I know you're busy, Coach, so we appreciate any time you could give us. I've admitted, now we're here in Lockhart, obviously, here at Terry Black's Barbecue. Come on out here, Jones. We'll be out here through the rest of the show. Great place, great food, and I haven't been out here before, and I think this is brand new. It's like a month old.
It looks like it's brand new.
It is.
I mean, everything is put the right way. Yes. One thing I noticed, that wood over there.
Uh-huh.
You got to have good wood over here if you're going to be able to cook some barbecue.
Hey, you got to have good wood. You got to have good wood in baseball, too.
Yeah, you do.
You got to have good wood in a lot of things. That's just, all right, anyway. Yeah, see, that's
Let's get to
hard.
Coach. Let's
get
to Coach.
Get me off track here. Coach, we apologize for bringing you in like that. But, Coach, we appreciate your time. The coach of Lockhart Football, Coach Mavis, joining us right now. Coach, we appreciate you. How you doing?
I appreciate y'all having me on. It's an honor to be here and honor to be with you guys at Terry. So
now you can actually sit down, Coach, so we want to talk some ball when you get comfortable. You actually, and correct me if I'm wrong here, I apologize if I'm off, 2019
is
when you first came here to Lockhart.
Yes, sir, March 2019.
Okay, so what were you doing before 2019?
I was the head coach athletic coordinator at Abilene Cooper High School.
Okay.
Oh, so you know a lot about them athletes out there at Cooper.
Yes, sir, that's it.
Man. It's so many Abilene folks here in Austin. You notice that, Coach?
Yeah.
Some of my best friends are from Abilene.
That's right, good connections.
That's right.
Good people, too.
Them Coops, man.
Well, let me say congratulations, number one.
Thank you, sir.
For the progress that you've had. When you first got here, what was the record of Lockhart when you first got here?
Oh, they hadn't made the playoffs in 4 years previous to me getting here. And the first year, we went to the playoffs and had a great season. And, you know, we're right in the middle of, changing some culture with some momentum headed in the right direction. And then we get to the world pandemic here, and it kind of slipped us back a little bit.
No doubt.
I mean, we've been grinding ever since then. This past spring was our first real true off season. And I think we've seen the benefits from that this season so far.
Yeah, you got 6-3 right now.
Yes, sir, 6-3. You got a big game this Friday against Kerrville Tavy at their place.
That's right, headed to the playoffs as
well.
Yes, sir. Well, you know, obviously you coming here has kind of changed the way Lockhart football is being looked at. But rumor has it that the real reason why everything changed here was you had somebody come in and speak to the team.
Oh, yes.
Few years ago.
You heard about that?
I heard about that.
That's it.
The person I know that told me about it has been talking about it forever.
No, absolutely, yeah.
And it was a momentum-changing speech
for
your program.
It was. As a matter of fact, that goes on the resume. It was just Rod came and spoke to the team. That's what changed everything. That was the change.
Hey, Coach, I brag about it, man. Y'all got the win that night.
Yeah, we got the win that night. We did.
I did get a chance to enjoy, you know, the culture here, right? We talk about Friday Night Lights and how special it is here in Texas. You know all about that. I got to tell you, I really enjoyed the atmosphere. Mm-hmm. It seems like you guys were building a great football culture. Were you talking about the band or the booster club? Seems like everybody in the town all in on Lockhart football. Is that something that, you know, you've noticed and obviously has been a priority?
I mean, this is the essence of Texas high school football around here when you talk about, community. And we got one high school, we got one of the most beautiful courthouses in the state of Texas anywhere around. I mean, you drive in there, drive into town, and it just resonates, community. And so, being able to bring all that together, and certainly there's a football game on Friday night, but there's a whole lot of other parts. I mean, we got the Roaring Lion Band, or Lionettes, cheerleaders, fans, community, and everybody cares and supports each other. That's what makes this place special.
Coach, I wanted to ask you about this weekend. No, I'm not talking about the football game. there's a barbecue thing going on right here in the city. What does that do for everyone as far as morale as well? I mean, there's so many barbecue places that are here, but there's also this big festival that's going on where everybody's coming into town. But, oh, yeah, we do have a football game, and everybody gets involved with that, too. So talk about that, too, about the whole city's energy right now.
Yeah, I think it's just it's extremely high. You know, this is it's a state, and I would say probably nationally type of event this weekend. I mean, everybody knows about Texas barbecue, and certainly Lockhart's the capital of barbecue in Texas. And so, you know, all the energy and attention's coming here. And by the way, we got some great football and stuff going on right now too. And so, I mean, it is. Everybody's just kind of bouncing around, got a little different swag about them, and it's great to see.
Hey, Coach, I came here and obviously got a chance to hang out and meet the fine folks here at Lockhart and here at Terry Black's Barbecue. And I saw a man I know very well. Didn't even recognize him. Aaron Harris, all right, lifetime Longhorn, apparently has also become part of this community, and his football is in his DNA.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that.
So you guys ended up obviously hanging out together, ended up, you know, having some fellowship. How did that happen? How did Aaron Harris and yourself end up getting hooked up? And is he giving you some of those coaching tips and some of his time? Because trust me, man, the man knows his ball.
He does know his ball.
Yeah, he does.
It was and I think we certainly share.
Okay.
I send him kind of some defensive scouting report stuff every single week just to make sure that he's still staying fresh and progressing along, you know.
Get him out there, stone ages.
That's right. There's some smaller details, and football has changed a little bit. So,
and
you know,
eye formation you were talking about.
That's right. I got to keep him fresh. Eye formation, what's that? You know, nobody knows what that is anymore. So this is called the shotgun, Aaron, you know.
We're running the pistol.
That's right. Yeah, right. So we got to make sure he stays fresh.
No, we
met last spring, and, I mean, really just kind of hit it off. You know, we're both linebackers by trade.
Oh, man, that's a special group right there.
It's a special group.
It is a special group. I know that group. That's
and,
a wild group.
And so we just hit it off, and you know, certainly with his experience and expertise and the success that he's had, you know, I knew I wanted to be able to, you know, he needed to be around our guys, and they needed to know him on a personal level. And you know, he was able to work with our 7-on-7 group this summer, and you know, whenever time is free, be able to come to practice, and you know, he's with us and travels and travels with us. Our kids know him, and so you know, I mean, he's just.
He works for the school.
His wife.
He's the better half.
He's number two in the deal.
Exactly.
You know, because he was number two,
that's right?
So consequently, he's still number two.
Right.
Is that it?
That's
still tastes number two. All
right.
And so yeah, she's Elizabeth. His wife is our head girls basketball coach, and so. Yeah, I mean, their family's just jumped right into this community, and, you know, he's certainly a vision of success for what our guys want to accomplish.
Absolutely.
And has played at the highest level and has got some hardware to be able to prove from it, has got a degree, more importantly, and is raising a beautiful family.
Yeah, that's what it's all about. Yeah. Before we let you go, we got to talk about this game this weekend.
Oh, yeah.
You travel to Kerrville, Tyvee. Tyvee's history is normally one of those better teams in this area. What have you noticed on film for them at Kerrville Tyvee?
I mean, they're just they're hard-nosed, you know, intelligent football players. I mean, they're physical, play the game the right way, you know, very well coached, sound in all three phases of the game. And I mean, you got to go and execute. You know, they're going to try to. It's just going to be a constant chess match, you know. You know, I think our guys are ready for it. Had a great week of practice. Lockhart football team hasn't beaten them in 30 years.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And so, you know, what I have told our guys all year long is the past is not predictive. You know, it doesn't mean anything. It's just the past. We can sit there and learn from it. And obviously we need to change the result. And, you know, we've had a great week of preparation and looking forward to go doing that on Friday.
Well, Coach.
Best of luck to you.
Yeah, no doubt. Best of luck, Coach. And we appreciate your time. We know
Absolutely.
You're busy.
No,
so
let's
got
do
stuff
let's,
going on.
Let's do it again.
Yeah, let's do it again.
Okay.
Sure.
So,
no doubt.
For
hey,
sure.
Whenever you need somebody to get that pregame speech, you let me know.
I already know.
That's
how
it.
That goes.
Just take it to the next level.
Exactly. All right, that is Coach Mazin.
Thank you, guys.
Head coach, thanks, Coach. Head coach of the Lockhart Lions football program. He's fantastic. He's good. He's damn good coach, but also a damn fine human being, too. He's a great guy.
That's a good football American right there.
Yeah, he is. No doubt. No, but Lockhart's got something special brewing, man. I experienced their Friday night lights culture down there, and it is fantastic. It's really good. All right, so we're out here at Terry Black's. If you want to come out here, Terry Black's Barbecue. We'll be out here till 7 o'clock. Probably going going to stay after and mash a little bit too and get some to go. But the whole crew is out here the 4 months. My man Patrick Davis also out here on the spot. And, man, he's working harder than ever.
He's working harder than ever
for y'all to make sure we bring y'all the program. We'll come back. We'll talk Thursday night football on the other side, Texans and Eagles, all of that and more live right here from Terry Black's Barbecue right here in Lockhart on 104.9 The Horn. All right, welcome back to Ball Don't Lie right here on 104.9. We are looking live, ladies and gentlemen. We are at the brand spanking new Terry Black's Barbecue. Brand spanking new out here in Lockhart. Been here for a month, they just told me. So, fantastic location. I got to make sure I get out here again. Already a little full. Usually I'm not full before the show. I've had a great lunch out here at Terry Black's.
That's why I keep standing up.
I know, me too. Like, what'd you call it? Got that itis.
Got that itis. That itis.
Are we going to have to get y'all some sweat rags out of the van?
Yeah,
I can't believe I got my sweat rag. What a rookie mistake.
We'll get you some. We got some extra.
Yeah, we definitely need those.
But it is also New Theme Thursday, for those who don't know. New Theme Thursday, of course, self-explanatory. New Theme, and it's supposed to give us hints as to what the new theme will be through the song selections coming in from the breaks. I recognize that song. I do recognize the song. And there's an H-Town reference in there, so shout out to H-Town. So
that might be headed towards your theme.
It could be. An H-Town theme. I hope you're not, you know, the murder of Takeoff is that the theme.
No, it's not.
Be cool.
That would have been Migos.
Why on earth would I do that? Well,
you said H-Town. I hope that's not the theme.
He would have played Migos.
It'd be a really bad taste.
Man, I'm sorry. That's wrong.
No, I don't know what the H-Town is.
Zero of my themes have had to do with murder. I'm not starting now.
That is true.
I'm a positive, uplifting guy.
I'm glad about that because we're all sad about that. So I'm glad that's the case. All right. I want to thank Coach Mavis for coming on with us, head coach of the Lockhart Lions. Great. And also thank the folks out here at Terry Black's, including Terry Black himself, for having us out here at Terry Black's Barbecue. All right. Let's talk Texans, gentlemen. Let's talk about the Texans and the Philadelphia Eagles. And also my man E. Hogan's out here. Shout out. E. Hogan came out here to kick a little bit. Apparently this is like he's one of his old stomping grounds, I guess. Only been here a month. I don't know how it's old stomping grounds from, but that's how often E. Hogan's been out here kicking
All right,
Texans versus the Eagles. 1-5-1 Texans versus the 7-0 Eagles, last undefeated team left in the NFL. And guys, I've been talking about this for a long time, about the Eagles and their separation in the second quarter. It is a freakiest thing out. I mean, it's a freakiest stat, I think, in the NFL that currently is still trending, that the Philadelphia Eagles have outscored their opponents in the second quarter by 96 points now, it is.
Mm-hmm.
That is the best quarter, basically, margin, if you will, differential more, I should say, in the NFL for any team in any quarter through the first seven games ever, beating out the 1998 Broncos.
I like it.
So nobody's ever played football as well in the second quarter, in any quarter, as well as the Eagles play in the second quarter.
No doubt about it.
I guess it's like nobody's played well in any quarter as well as the Eagles play in their second quarter. So that is the quarter they're going to pull away from the Texans. It's inevitable.
It is inevitable, especially when you look at the fact that almost all the Houston Texans decided that they didn't want to play this week. You don't have your wide receiver, your top two wide receivers.
For different reasons.
Yeah. And now you're still trying to figure out, okay, do we even want to play this game on Thursday? Like, the Texans are in so much disarray that this may be a bloodbath. I told Patrick when they found out that everybody was not going to be playing, the line shot up so much. It's over 14 now.
Which is rare in the NFL.
And like you said, I mean,
I don't get why it wasn't above 14 already.
Because it's the NFL.
And it's a Thursday night game.
It's a Thursday night game. But the way these Eagles have been putting it on teams.
Yeah.
Ooh,
Yeah. It's an ugly, ugly
trait right
here.
And the Texans are the worst rush defense in the NFL, and the Eagles are one of the best rushing teams in the NFL, sixth in NFL in rushing yards per game. They lead the NFL in rushing touchdowns since Jalen Hurts became their starter. I'm talking about since like 2020 when he became the starting quarterback. They lead the NFL in rushing touchdowns with 45. In that same time span, the Texans lead the NFL in rushing touchdowns allowed with 43. And last weekend, the Titans had, 314 rushing yards?
I think.
On the Texans?
Yeah. But I think that's where the challenge comes in, right? As a Texans defensive player, you know that you just got ran through last week. Do you challenge yourself and say, we can't let that happen again. We can't let them go crazy on the ground. Mm-hmm. If they're going to beat us, let them beat us through the air. We can't go out there for morale's sake.
Yeah.
I mean, you got pride. You don't want to go out there, oh, that's King Henry. Okay, we expect that. He's done it to us more times than not. But we're definitely not going to let Miles Sanders and Jalen Hurts go off on us like that. That's the challenge. I would say make Jalen Hurts throw the football and not get beat up that much on the ground.
Yeah,
prideful thing. That's what I'm talking about.
I don't disagree with that. They haven't been able to stop the run all year long, so I doubt they're going to be able to stop it against Jalen Hurts, because now you have a running threat at quarterback who also can throw the ball effectively.
Yeah.
He's one of the NFL leaders in passer rating, and they couldn't stop it last week. Now, Derrick Henry is a force of nature by himself, but Malik Willis wasn't even a threat throwing the football.
Right.
What, he had like 10 attempts total?
Yes.
They weren't even trying to push the ball.
Handing off.
They were handing the football off, pounding the rock. Philly leads the NFL in explosive play rate. They're the most explosive offense in the NFL. Nearly 18% of their plays are explosive plays. I feel like the Texans, without any way to keep up with an explosive team like the Philadelphia Eagles, this thing's going to get out of hand really fast, really quickly. I agree with you, though. Stuff the box and stop the run and force them to beat you through the air is probably your best shot. But they present you with almost an in – it's really like a mathematical equation you can't solve, like an incalculable one. Because Jalen Hurts, he used the zone read fake.
Yep.
All right, so he's got the zone read, which means you got to – and that's a read – it's an RPO, by the way. Their zone read fake. So he's reading that defensive end for the zone read, but also reading a second-level defender – almost, this is why they're saying right now this guy is doing next level processing.
Yeah.
Because this is what he's doing. Right? This is the way it works. Their offense is pretty
MVP level processing.
Exactly. It's pretty simple, but it's almost impossible to stop.
Yep.
So you got a dual threat quarterback who's running an RPO, right? Run pass option. And they got to say the RPO tag is a wide receiver screen on the outside with A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith, some combination of it. So he's going to run the RPO. All right, the run pass option. He's reading the defensive end, but also reading a second level defender for the tag.
Who's on the other side? Yeah. Who's on the back
safety,
side?
Safety or exactly. That linebacker, whoever it
exactly.
is.
Exactly.
And if he decides to hand it off, boom, he hands it off because they probably have a light box. But if he decides to keep it, he's either keeping it as a quarterback keeper or deciding I'm throwing to that tag route.
And not only that, you got your tight end Dallas Goedert coming across on the backside.
Sometimes you're right. Sometimes they got a late releaser.
That, yes.
She's got like four different things you're defending simultaneously. Mm-hmm. And I said, after all that, if it's not a quarterback keeper or a throw to the tag, to the route, he decides, no, I'm going to scramble because I don't like any of it.
Right.
I don't like any of it. So I'm just keeping the damn thing and I'm going, which is different than the keeper from the zone read.
Right.
It is. It's so complex, yet so really simplistically brilliant. Wow. The way they set up this offense for him.
Well, that's
why nobody can really stop it right
now. They made the adjustment to who their quarterback is. That's why I don't understand why some of these other teams are trying to make a quarterback not be what he is. You drafted a guy. I keep going back to Justin Fields. The blueprint to having a successful offense for Chicago Bears is the Philadelphia Eagles. They're the same type of player.
They're taking the Ravens' blueprint.
They're taking, yeah.
They're very similar though in terms of what they're trying to do. A lot of RPO.
I think that Justin Fields is a better passer than Lamar Jackson in my eyes, as a quarterback, as a thrower.
I don't know about that.
But you think about it. If he has an opportunity to do some of these things like that, if he has opportunity to use them type of players, he might be able to be that type of quarterback. We'll see what happens now. He's got Chase Claypool. But we're going to go back to Jalen Hurts. The way he's processing everything, the way he's been running the football, the way he's able to dissect and break down a play quickly is so different than where people thought he was going to be. You know why? Because the coaching staff sat with him and said, what is going to make you successful? Forget everything that I've been trying to bring to everybody. I want to know what's going to make you a successful quarterback. And they saw it at the end of last year when he took over, and they started winning all these games.
Right.
And now he's run back into it, and they kept that same thing. And they went out and got a big play wide receiver with them to go with a big play Heisman Trophy wide receiver that they had before. Yeah.
But this is where it switches is, okay, well, now if you're the Texans, how do you get Davis Mills any sort of confidence? And you go, you have Damian Pierce. You're going to run Damian Pierce as many times as you possibly can in this game. But when you say you don't have your top two wide receivers, you're going up against a top five passing defense.
Yeah, no doubt.
How are you able to get anything going to go, okay, we get they're going to score on us just because they are scoring on everybody.
Yeah.
So they scored on the Cowboys. The Cowboys have a good defense. They're scoring on everybody. We need to at least put up some points to try and cover, to try and have some respect, because there's a big difference between losing 48-35 and losing 48-0. And that's the question is, yeah, can you score some points? And that's what I want to see. Is there any way to get Davis Mills any type of rhythm in this game? Because you feel like they're just going to try him out, right?
Yeah.
If you're the Eagles, you go, look, we're not a great rush defense, so why don't we just line up? We'll stack the box, make Damian Pierce run through us, and we'll make him throw it on third and longs, and then we can maybe spread out. But if you're the Texans, you can't just keep getting stuck in a third and eight, third and nine.
No.
So what do you do if you're the Texans?
Well,
pray.
Well, no, but you're right, though.
You definitely need to pray.
You got to stay ahead of the chains. Damian Pierce is probably your best tool, right, to be able to move the football. But, man, you're talking about a defense that leads the NFL in takeaways, too. The beauty of what the Eagles do, they're plus 14 in turnover margin. Nobody else is even close.
Yeah.
Jalen Hurts only turned the football over twice, and yet they've taken the football away 16 times, and I believe they lead the NFL or one of the leads in interceptions, too. Yeah, 10 interceptions.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't want Davis Mills throwing the ball a lot. I don't.
No, none of us do.
Especially without his two top targets at wide receiver. I mean,
Philip Dorsett is your number one wide receiver tonight.
Oh,
that's your number one,
dude.
He was a beast before, though.
He looked decent in preseason.
Do you know Davis Mills?
Yeah.
Davis Mills
was a beast before.
Davis Mills actually deserves a little bit of sympathy. He's only started 29 games in college and the NFL total, so he hasn't started a lot of games. But he's 1-14-1 as a starter versus every team not named the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Okay,
that's not good.
Okay. No, I mean, if you watch him at the end of that game against the Titans, he was having trouble throwing screens. Like, if you're
he's regressing.
Yeah, and that's if you're getting down to where you have – and, I mean, you're going into a Thursday night, a short game, a short week game. I mean, this may be a point where you may have to either pull him out just to say, look, man, we're destroying your career at this point. Because you're going to throw five picks in this game.
I just need him to throw one.
Yeah.
I just need him to throw
one. But I don't know. I mean, like, you just figure there's some point in this game on a Thursday night where you just have to go, man, for your own sake, let's try and pull you back out of this because they're going to come after you. We can run the ball as much as we want, but if it's third and we have to throw,
I think they pulled the dog.
Do?
I think I they know. Pulled the dog.
You just say,
off
you just
at,
say
at
hey,
halftime.
Man, let's start punting on third.
No.
That's what I'm saying is you have to do something. You have other quarterbacks on the roster. Might as well try something maybe to just say, hey, let's get Davis Mills in a more winnable position. And if he starts playing bad. Now, Davis Mills could come out and play decent tonight.
He could.
What does Rod always say? Quick game, quick game, quick game. They're definitely going to have to play with the quick game.
Yeah.
The one thing is Jordan Jordan Davis is not playing today.
Man, they got
Philly.
Plenty.
Yeah, they got plenty of guys. Robert Quinn is making his debut.
Yeah, they're so
this weekend
D-line,
too.
But I think if you try to go too much quick game and it's predictable, Darius Slay's gonna have a field day. He's gonna pick.
Well, and you remember if you're going
one, Bates quarterbacks all the time.
Just need
and
one.
If you're going quick game anywhere over the middle, that's where they're all gonna be.
Yeah,
they're all gonna be sitting in the middle waiting for Pierce.
Yeah.
So
it's well, looks bleak.
So what
breakdown?
So are they gonna get shut out tonight? Is that the question?
No, I don't think
that
they get
the
shut
bigger
out
thing. Are they gonna look like Philly? The Phillies with a shutout. No
I think
hit.
They. I think they cover. I think they cover. I don't think they shut them out. I think Texans. It's the NFL. The NFL. It's just more competitive.
That's a lot of points.
It's a lot.
A lot of points.
But I mean, I could see it being they could put up 35, 40 points in this game.
Man,
the Eagles
can put up
and
24.
The Texans can put up 14.
They could put up 24 and the Texans end up putting up 7. I could see that.
That's
happen.
What I'm saying. Like, I can believe that.
The Texans can't score.
Yeah, they
can't. Like, I can't even envision a way where Texans put up 10 points in this game. I'm serious.
Yeah.
I can't. Dude, last week, they had 64 total yards last week through three quarters.
Right.
64 total yards through three quarters. And y'all sitting there talking about they're going to score 10 points against a top five defense?
No, I'm not saying it.
That was the lowest yardage total three quarters for any team all season.
I said not shut out.
That's huge.
What's that? 3 points.
3 points? Yeah. I guess because luck, right? They could fumble or something.
Yeah,
like that.
But they don't turn the ball over.
They don't turn the ball over.
They don't touch
the ball. Maybe a bobbled snap on the punt.
There you go. Special teams.
Yeah.
Special teams is how the Texans can score.
It would have to be.
All right. There you go. That's the breakdown that you wanted if you're a Texans fan. you want them to tank. So that's a breakdown you want.
So it's all beneficial, right?
Exactly. They're going to look bad. There you go. I think they got right now two picks in the top 10. They got number 2 pick and the number 10 pick. So that's, if you're a Texas fan, that's what you want right there. Hopefully that, you know,
but those
gives
those
optimism.
But those players that are coming out of college are looking like, I don't want to go to that college crap over there. I don't want to do that. I might hold out.
Yeah.
I might hold out like Eli.
That's true. That's a good point. But they like Houston a lot.
They do H-Town.
Good strip clubs. Yeah. Good food.
Oh, they can spend that money.
Yeah, there you go.
They can spend that money.
all right, we'll come back. We're live from Terry Black's Barbecue here in Lockhart, having a great time. Good food out here. Good folks as well. So if you're in the neighborhood, come on out here and join us. We're out here on the patio, but it is a beautiful weather. I don't even need a sweat rag, actually. And I forgot my sweat rag.
That's because you're so cool, dog.
All right, we'll come back. We'll get into the flex on the other side right here on Ball Don't Lie. 104.9 The Horn. You were the first. Welcome back to Ball Don't Lie right here on 104.9 The Horn, and we are looking live here from Terry Black's Barbecue. It is a new theme Thursday. We're supposed to be guessing, Harge, what the new theme for today is based on the song selections given. I do kind of recognize this jam.
Yep.
You got a guess as to what the new theme is?
I'm thinking it has something to do, obviously, between Philly and Houston, H-Town. They're both playing each other today. Oh, and one team is just killing time, and the other team is trying to win a pennant.
Oh, I like that.
A World Series. So does that have anything to do with it?
That might have something to do with it.
Okay.
So it's just like H-Town Philly because of the Thursday night football game too?
It's got a lot going on.
Okay.
It's not directly H-Town Philly, but you're very, very close.
Okay.
All right, Harge.
Is it because we're doing barbecue out here in Lockhart?
No, it's not Lockhart.
I was going to say, if it's a barbecue, we way off then.
Yeah.
but that's where we are in Lockhart, of course, having a good time. And we're at Terry Black's Barbecue, brand spanking new location. Been open just a month, having a good time.
Beautiful.
It really is. It really is nice. We'll give you some more details about what's going on, because Lockhart's got a very special event happening too coming up this weekend. But let's talk about the flex here. Go to flxatx.com. Of course, you can go check out all the great content that the Flex crew has there. As a matter of fact, I feel like we just had our Flex segment.
We did.
Because we did. We had Coach Mavis on, who is the head coach for the Lockhart Lions, on talking about their program. They got a big game coming up against Corville Tyvee.
Yes.
This weekend. And I've heard they're moving a ton of games up to today, too.
Yep.
As a result of, you have these? Okay.
I do have them pulled up.
Of some inclement weather that could be coming this weekend.
And great job by our Flex crew.
Oh, man, they're awesome.
They're always on top of this. And their blog basically just said reportedly 230 games have been moved up to tonight as a result of scheduling. That goes all the way up in Dallas-Fort Worth area, then all the way here because there's supposed to be bad weather coming in town, headed into the weekend. Elgin and Rouse moved their game up to 6 p.m. kickoff tomorrow night. They're going to stay there. Okay. But tonight, Westlake versus Buda Johnson is tonight at 7 o'clock. Hayes versus Lehman is also at 7 o'clock. Hutto versus Weiss is at 7 o'clock. Lago Vista and Gerald have moved up their games to 7 o'clock tonight as well. So all those games that you were expecting, there still are some games that are still planned on being played tomorrow night as regularly scheduled, but some of those teams that we just went through have moved their game up to tonight at 7 o'clock.
Okay. Yeah, and you can go find out more about that and get more information over at flxatx.com. The crew has that listed for you there on the website. Also, wanted to let everybody know, too, that we are getting ready to finalize our list for our all-flex team, for the our all-flex football team. So that will be coming up here shortly. Really excited about that. That will be coming up toward the end of the season. This is actually the last regular season game of the season.
Yes.
Shout out to all of the teams who are ending their season, hopefully on a good note. Hopefully not the last game for a lot of teams out there. Also, the Flex crew have finished their all-flex volleyball watch list. And yesterday we gave you the middle blockers. Day before that, we gave you the liberos. Here is the setters, the setter, Savannah Scopo, 2024 prospect out of Rice, right, Rouse.
I said the same thing.
Going to Rice. And, she's out of Rouse, going to Rice. So I got a little mixed up. Surpassed 3,000 career assists this season and broke the school's single game assist record with 58. Record was held by her older sister, which is pretty damn cool.
Keeping it in the family.
Good genes there, good DNA. Rouse has won district for the seventh straight year. So it's a damn good program they got there as well. Riley Garris, 2023 prospect out of Vista Ridge. Cal State Fullerton commit, 269 kills, 425 digs as a setter. Also helped lead team to the playoffs this season as well. And Dylan Gilkey, 2023 prospect out of Cedar Park, San Jose State commit with over 1,141 assists and averaging 9.7 assists per set heading into the playoffs.
That's awesome.
Yeah, balling.
And again, we got to give a shout-out to our man Zach Lucero, who loves volleyball, and he's always dialed into that. Yes, he does a lot with the football teams and a lot with Flex ATX, because you know why? It's a flex. But they get after it, and they go out there, and they get to know a lot of these players and all these coaches. So there's a lot of hard work that goes into it, and I can't be so – I got to applaud those kids for all that they do.
Yeah. No, they do a great job. I mean, Zach Lucero, but Snoop, J.J. Dunn, Derek Cohen does a great job.
D.C.
Nolan the Seed.
Yep.
Also does a good job over there with the Flex crew, man. They keep expanding the group. Cameron now working with them a little bit. So they do a great job, man. And I'm really proud of those guys. And I keep getting compliments about Flex. And I'm like, don't compliment me because I ain't got nothing to do with it. Well, we got something to do
with it. We do our part.
We ain't doing the hard work. That's right. Let's admit, we just kind of getting credit for it. All right. Well, Also, taking credit for this great broadcast that we had out here, too, but it's not us. First of all, man, Patrick working harder than us, but also the good fine folks out here at Terry Black's for all their hospitality. So we appreciate them. We'll tell you some more about that on the other side. Also, we'll give you some more details about this weekend because we're going to be out and about all this weekend. And we're time to break down Texas football. Texas versus K-State, the Purple Kryptonite. And we're from Steve Sarkisian from his media availability, his Zoom availability earlier today. All that more right here on Ball Don't Lie on 104.9 The Horn.